Praise the Lord. Let's lift our heads to the Lord just for a moment before we go into the Word here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your grace, your blessing over this season. I ask that you would freshly anoint to our hearts what you want to speak to us today. We throw open both the gates of our hearts and attentively listen to hear what you have for us. So we ask, Lord, you just sanctify this time and build your church. Amen. Amen. I want to talk on the subject, the gift of Christmas, and I have a scripture in Philippians. It has several slides here. It says this, Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Everybody say emptied himself. By taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. Everybody say humbled himself. By becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. By the way, when I was a little kid, how many of you have had a little, when you were little, maybe get some kind of an outfit? I remember getting a present, and it was a little cowboy cap gun and a hat and a little vest and a shirt and pants and boots. And I was a little cowboy, and I remember having the walking around and playing cowboys for days after getting the cowboy getup. And I had a Christmas gift that transformed my identity. It changed my life. And this Christmas, see, Christmas is the time when the gift, Jesus is the gift. It's the gift of Jesus. And Jesus is the gift that enters into our life and transforms our life. And when I look at the incarnation is all about the Word becoming flesh. The Word becoming flesh. God Almighty, who was the very one who spoke the heavens into being, who created the concept of seed for plants and animals, now is letting go of being Almighty God and actually becoming a seed inside of the womb of a woman. The God who, among whom everything in heaven and earth depended, now has become a little baby, and he's depending on his mommy to change his diapers. The God who spoke, "Let there be light," is now a toddler, and he's having to learn how to speak from his mommy's knee. The God who created everything is now growing up and becoming a mentor to Joseph to learn how to be a carpenter. He became so vulnerable. What happened? He emptied himself. Emptied himself. What's that mean? He laid aside all of the privileges of being God. The closest I can think of this, if I was to lay aside all my privileges for being a human and become an ant, and go into another form and come down into a little, be a little ant in an ant. That would be different. But the thing is, that would just be in the realm where you can see. But he came from the unseen realm, and he came being from the God of everything. There was this British woman, an author who wrote these mysteries, and she had this detective that she would write about. And about two or three novels in, I was trying to research and find her name, but about three novels in, she wrote a love interest for the detective, and it was her. She wrote herself into the story. Isn't that cool? And everybody knew it. She began to court the detective in the next novel. That's what the Lord did, see. He wrote this book. It's called a history. And he's outside of time. And he writes that he's coming. And he writes that he's going to be coming, and he's going to be coming in a certain way in a certain time. And so, and he's 600 prophecies foretold his coming. And then Jesus comes, and he comes into history. This is really amazing, isn't it? God steps into human history so that we can see him and know who He is. And what's powerful about this is, let's pretend for a minute you're the author of a book and you're writing your story. Here's what I want you to hear. Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book, they were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me. Hear it, guys. If you've been living a life without the Lord wants to enter into your history in a way that causes what He originally planned for you to begin to happen. And here's the beautiful thing about it. In the same way that He came into very humble circumstances, it doesn't matter how humble your circumstances are. He'll come into those humble circumstances of your life. And He'll step in. How many of you have had, as she said, hearts that have not been so clean? A wrecked life. A woundedness about you. Going for years and years and years. And the reality is that God has a unique and special history to write for you. And that's my heart, that the gift of Jesus becomes so profound this Christmas that you begin to be awakened to what He has for you now. Somebody, let's just shoot some praises up here. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. It doesn't matter where you've gone wrong in life. It doesn't matter. When it says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory, and it's the glory of the Father. It says, full of grace and truth. This is what this means. Grace means that God loves you right where He found you. But you know what truth means? Truth means He loves you way too much to leave you that way. How many of you found that I need all the grace and truth I can get hanging around Jesus? The beauty of who Jesus is quite remarkable. So the first thing we want to look at is this. The incarnation. God became a man. God became a human. He became a human being. It's still very difficult for me to wrap my head around the fact that how He pulled that off. How about you? It's the mystery of Christianity. It's not enough for Him to become a man. He has to become a sinless man. Did you know that your blood, your DNA, your blood type comes down from your father's side of the family? Isn't that something? And Jesus had the blood of His father, but not Joseph, the heavenly father. So Jesus came and was sinless. You know, when Judas came back from to the priest, and he said, he threw the 30 pieces of silver down. He threw it, he says, I've sinned, I have betrayed innocent blood. Innocent blood. And even the centurion, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, surely this is an innocent man. And part of the gift of Christmas, part of the gift that comes to you and me, and we'll be having communion in a little bit, part of the gift that comes to us is the fact that where we weren't innocent, Jesus makes us innocent. Where we have failed, Jesus cleanses our heart and makes us free inside. Hallelujah. Sinless. We do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, with our weaknesses, but who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Now, these last words, everybody say, without sin, yet without sin. Do you know what that would be like? That would be like you putting on a white suit and going into a cold mind. Jesus came down into this earth and was tempted in every respect, just like you and me. Wow. Think of that for a minute. Jesus Christ is sinless. Jesus is sinless, yet without sin at all. But it's not enough for him to be sinless unless he's sacrificed for us. It's not enough to be human. He has to be sinless. God just can't come and be a human. He has to be a sinless human. But that's not enough. He has to come and now be, the Bible says, the propitiation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way. For our sake he made him to be sin. Everybody say, who knew no sin. So that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ, we can become the righteousness of God. He made him who knew no sin to become sin. This is a miracle, isn't it? So now God comes as this vulnerable little baby who Herod wants to kill, comes, grows up. The Pharisees are trying to kill him. The devil tempts him in the wilderness at an opportune time. How many of you have had been like that, where you're heading along and you're doing really good, and then the devil comes at you at an opportune time? Now, with Jesus, Peter showed up. Not only did the Pharisees try to throw him off of a cliff and kill him, you know, end his life that way, and somehow the power of God came on Jesus and he just walked through the crowd and he was freed from that. And you and I will have situations where we just need God's power and his help to walk out of situations where we would be vulnerable to temptation, right? Or to some kind of a trap or something. How many of you are really happy when God helps you getting out of stuff you've been bound up in? You just keep walking out of it. Amen? Also, even Peter was what came against Jesus and said, oh, no, you know, when Jesus was explaining that he was going to die for the sin, and Peter said, no, not you, Lord. Even his closest friend was used by the devil. I think it's a remarkable thing for Jesus to turn to Peter and say, get behind me, Satan, as a person. Because how many of you know the devil's gotten into people around you and done some things? Is that right? And even Judas. This says the devil came on the inside of Judas and he went to betray. And listen, you're going to have situations where somebody's going to show up and try to betray your life. It's just going to happen. But the gift that the Lord wants to give you this Christmas, he wants you to give you the ability to overcome every situation. Every situation. So there's going to be temptations, there's going to be all kinds of things, there's going to be warfares, all kinds of stuff. I want to just praise the Lord for bringing me out of a place. Let me just identify it. I believe the Lord wants to free anybody from a despondency. Let's praise the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Lord, whatever would put somebody down and cause them to feel run over, sad, like giving up, under it, cast down. We want to praise you right now that you're the God that raises up, overthrows, establishes, releases fresh anointing, causes the beauty of this season to overtake us. Praise you, Lord. Let's just praise you now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let's praise him. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Magnificent Lord, you are the freeing God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. So he was the one who was made sin for us. And number three, it says this, the sinless man became a sacrifice for mankind. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. He was bruised. He was harmed for our good. The Bible says in 1 John 2:2, I have the scripture up here, it says, he is, everybody say this big, big, gigantic $20 theological word. Everybody say propitiation. For our sin, and not ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation means to make favorably inclined. In other words, our sin made us or unfavorably inclined to God. And now Jesus comes, and because he lays down his life for us, we're favored
because of what Jesus has done. I want to ask those who are coming to have communion, go ahead and come up, and I'll do this next part. The very opening part, it says he left a part. Jesus was in the form of God, and he emptied himself of the privileges of heaven. And he took on the form of a servant. And then it says, being born as a human, being born in the likeness of men. He emptied himself of being God and chose that his role was to be born in the likeness of men. But before he was born, it says he took the form of a servant. The situation, yeah, hold the peace, by the way. Hold it until all are served. So he first emptied himself. And then he took on another form. And I believe the Lord would like us to follow in his steps. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says, have this mind among you that is yours in Christ Jesus. Have this mind among you that is yours in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped. It wasn't a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself. Paul was praying for the Galatian church, and he said, I'm laboring as in childbirth again. He was praying, he said, till Christ be formed in you. Now here's the switch. It's kind of like a gift exchange. You come to the cross, you come to the foot of the cross, and received, or we come to the foot of the Christmas tree, where we exchange gifts. But what we bring him is not innocence. The best we can give is pretty much a broken, bound life. What we can bring to him is great need. What we bring to him is failure and burdens and our heartache. Is that right? But what he gives us is himself. He gives us the power to be what we couldn't be. He gives us his wholeness. He gives us his healing. He gives us his freedom. He gives us the joy that we didn't have before. Let's lift this before the Lord. I don't know your spiritual condition, but right now you can improve it. You can do exactly what I just was talking about. Say, Lord, I'm going to give you my brokenness. I'm going to receive your wholeness. There is a liberty in Christ Jesus and a power that's given through who he is, because he gives you his new nature. The seed of his life is an overcoming life. And when you receive Jesus into your heart, you become an overcomer in Christ Jesus. You must cultivate it, you must grow it, but you become an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Some of you need to hear that today because you haven't felt like an overcomer. And so you come and you come to the cross, or you come to the gift exchange, and you say, I give you my failures where I haven't overcome. And the Lord says, I'm giving you the power to overcome. This is the exchange. I'm giving you what you need to change. There's a sense of spirit of washing the heart that's in the room right now. Just the Lord wants to wash hearts from, let me just try to describe, from the fatigue of failure, from the weariness of feeling like you're not enough, from the weight of your own mistakes. The Lord sees all this. If that's the best you can bring, bring it. Bring it, because the Lord has another gift. And he's going to give you a cleansing. He's going to give you a healing. He's going to wash the pain away from your heart. Somebody praise the Lord with me right now. Let's go ahead and just enter in. He's doing it right now in the room. He's causing. I need to say this to somebody. This is the words. Yes, you, honey. Yes, you. Yes, you. Do not let the doubts of how you failed in the past blur this moment. It's not your righteousness ever. It's his gift of righteousness that he gives you. It's not yours. You come and you give him good old-fashioned sin. And he'll give you good old-fashioned right relationship with God. Somebody praise him again. Let's praise him. Lord, as you're making these transactions in the heart right now, there's somebody here that your heart is heavy over your children. I think it's more than one, probably a group. And the Lord is saying, bring me the fatigue and the weariness of your pain relating to your kids. Bring it to me. It's a gift exchange. It's not the best gift in the world, but you bring the heartache to Jesus over where your kids are at right now. You just bring it to him. Bring it to him. And the Lord is coming to give you restoration in your family. He's coming to give it to you. He says that the offspring of the righteous will be delivered. The offspring of the righteous will be delivered. Now, nobody here is righteous on their own terms. We're righteous because of what we're about to do. We're about to receive the power of Jesus' love and affirmation and wiping the record clean and hit his life for our life. We bring him our mistakes and he gives us an A for his report card comes over that. All you do is show up and keep showing up. And God begins to do the things in your family that you can't do in your own. Let's praise him, guys. Let's praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, man, there's just one other little topic, and it's based on A Christmas Carol. Ebenezer Scrooge, he had the ghost of Christmas past. I feel prompted in this because the Lord wants to deliver you from the losses of past Christmases. Does anybody hear me? Where what used to be always a depression during this time of year because of a ripoff of some sort of the adversary in your life. The Lord says, I want to redeem. What made you impoverished, the Lord says, I'm going to take your poverty and I'm going to give you my generosity, the spirit of my generosity. Let's open to it. Receive it, receive it, receive it, receive it. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, we come to honor you. We come and hand you our mess. We come to give you what's broken and what doesn't work. We come to give you our losses. We come to give you our failures. And now we've given you us and what's wrong with us. And now you give us the gift of Jesus. We receive the promise of everything being better and the power for everything to become better. Because you're the resourceful one. Somebody is going to turn a corner this Christmas and it's going to unravel and the things are going to turn out the way you always knew it could be but never worked out for you until now. The Lord is saying, I'm releasing the promise that I placed in your heart years ago. I'm releasing it this season. Somebody praise the Lord with me. We're just under the anointing here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to say these. Let's pray this with me. Say, Father God, I receive Jesus. Just go ahead and say it. I receive Jesus. I give you my life. And I receive your life. In the power of your love, I receive it. Let's partake together. Hallelujah. I don't want you to make, you know, this is not supposed to be funny. It sounds funny, but we had a kind of a sad expression in the South that said, boy, that guy looked like he was beat with an ugly stick. Has anybody ever heard that? Some of you have. I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ was beat with an ugly stick for you. He was made ugly by the whooping and the beating and the plucking out of his beard. And the pain he went through. It is horrendous. I was sitting with a young man one day in McDonald's, and he was just stuck. He was stuck in this whole thing about how he had to be better without God's help in order to be accepted by God. Have you ever been there before? I've got to do better for God to love me. No, nobody. Okay, well, wrong crowd. Has anybody ever tried to be good enough for God and you'll always end up failing and never can pull it off? And it was a real moment. It was a life-turning moment for him. And some of you have heard this thought before. I said, let me ask you one question. I need to ask you a question here. I want you to, let's go back in time, and we go back to the cross, and they just taken Jesus' body down from the cross, and he's laying on the ground, and it's before they take him to the tomb to be buried. I want to ask you a question as you're looking at Jesus' body, and I want to ask you this question right now, and you answer to me. You answer this question. How is that not enough for you? How is that not enough for you? I want you to explain to me how you need more than that. I want to hear how you need more than what he did. Tell it to me. Let me know. Go ahead and fill me in how that's not enough for you. Come on, talk to me. Tell me about that. And something began to crack inside of his life. Something began to crack, and he realized that was enough. And something began to fall off of him and loose from him. And he talked about that for months after that. Every person he said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. I'm here to tell you, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. It's enough for you. It's enough. And when we come to communion and we hold up the cup, let's go ahead and say, it's enough. It's enough. I don't know what you're facing right now, but I know that this is enough. It's the doorway into everything you need. Demons are afraid. The flesh is cleansed. Your sins are completely forgiven forever because this is enough. It's never been any other way. It's just the assaults of hell upon our mind that cause us to want to think that Jesus isn't enough and somehow I've got to add something to it. You're never going to add anything to it. The acceptance is already completely, thoroughly given. You're absolutely loved in Christ Jesus. Nobody can take it away from you. Nobody can come and steal it unless you let a doubt come in and let the devil take it away. Then you all be insecure. But this is the confidence that we have that Jesus Christ died for our sins to remove them from us forever. And we are... Oh, man, what a good... Hey, here, let me tell you the Christmas gift that needs to be giving and giving. And go ahead and forgive everybody in your life. Tell everybody in your life, you're forgiven in your heart. Release people from captivity in your soul. Release the same forgiveness that you got from Jesus, give it to everybody else. If there's one gift that you give this Christmas, let it be forgiveness. Let it be full-hearted forgiveness. And then begin speaking blessing over their life. Let's lift the cup. praise you, Lord Jesus. We're so thankful to you. We're so grateful to you. We're so happy that you have washed us clean by the power of the blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let's praise Him. Just praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Before we drink this, we're just going to praise the Lord. Thank you for the freedom the blood releases. Thank you for the forgiveness that it has. Thank you for the bruises that it heals. Thank you, Lord, for the shackles that drop off because of its power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord, that you came to earth not to leave us here, but to take us back up with you. And you're taking a blood-bought and blood-washed bride when you come again. And we praise you, Lord, for the preparation days of our hearts. Oh, hallelujah. And so we receive the fullness of your forgiveness, and we release the fullness of your forgiveness in Christ Jesus. Let's all partake together. Amen. Oh, light my heart, oh God, with your holy love. Set my heart on fire from above. Oh, let the glory found in you shine all over me. Flood us with your love this Christmas time. Oh, flood us with your love this Christmas time. Hallelujah. Go ahead and take somebody's hand there, if you wouldn't mind. Lord, nobody can take us out of the palm of your hand. We thank you, Lord, that you're near to us. And I'm going to ask for the gift this Christmas of intimacy with God in our hearts and lives. I pray that you'd work in every single person here, that you cause light to come, hope to come, a newfound faith to come, a release of the gifts of your Spirit to begin coming. There are some of you that you've been called of the Lord a long time ago, and the Lord's calling you back. And He wants to revive in you the hopes that you felt years ago. There are things that the Lord wants to release through your life, and you gave up hope for those, and the Lord is coming to rekindle that hope in you right this very moment. He's coming and wants to lift your head, take your chin and lift it up, and let there come the vision of what He saw, what you saw Jesus had for you, what your partnership with Him would release into your life. The Lord's calling you. The Lord is calling you this season to become what He's whispered in your heart long ago. There's some of you that know this is what's going on. You know it down inside. You know it. And you cannot walk out of here and let that die inside of your heart. You must rise up and take it. And take it and begin walking with the Lord in the depth of what He's called you to be. Just go ahead in your heart and say, yes, Lord. Just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm calling you by the Spirit of the Lord to come and become what Jesus has always had in mind for you to be. I'm calling you to come and become it. The Lord is not finished with you. The Lord has great purpose for your life. The hell has tried to come and take it away, but Jesus is here. And He's rising in your life. Praise you, Lord. Let's all stand together. Praise you, Jesus. By the way, we have some people. This is an altar of breakthrough. It's an altar of freedom. And it's an altar of healing. We have those that are just going to, the leadership, come on down. If you have further things that you want to pray for, I just want you to feel free. We're going to keep this room in a quiet state. And all the fellowship will just walk out the door over there. And by the way, we have wonderful times of fellowship. So you make up your mind. If you're done in your heart and you say, this is time to go fellowship, we'll be leaving in a moment and you head over there. If you want to build an altar before the Lord and let Him work further in your life, we'll come on down to the altar. Hallelujah. Everybody said amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and be dismissed. Thank you, Lord. Life.